Right, hello and welcome to episode 17 of the ReptiChat podcast, the one-stop shop for all things snakes and lizards to bugs and birds. This is the UK's only, I think, multi-species exotic animal podcast. First off, a quick apology if you're watching on YouTube today. I probably look a bit of a mess, I'm a bit muddy. I did a 15k tough mudder about 2.5 hours ago. And since then, I've been rushing around like a lunatic trying to get ready for the podcast. However, a bonus, if you are watching live, you'll notice I'm in the new studio. It's not quite finished yet, but we're almost there. I need to work out the positions of things a bit better. I want to add a couple more lights, and there's a neon sign that I want to add behind me as well, somewhere, probably over here. But I can't afford it at the moment, so it will grow as the podcast has been growing. But I can't believe we're on episode 17 already. It feels like just yesterday that we were on episode 1. A few quickies before we get our guests on today. As I mentioned in the last episode, the Patreon is now live. There's a link in the show notes below. So if you fancy it, come and join the Repti Squad and see what it's all about. If you want to know more, go and listen to episode 16, where I talk about it a bit more in depth. I have also updated my morph market this week or last week, I can't remember, with all of my current available hatchlings. Excuse me. So go and check them out. There's plenty of cool stuff on there. And especially if you're on the hunt for some cool calico combos, I am well happy with the combos that I've produced this year. And to be honest, I'd love to keep them all, but I don't have the room, so there are some available. So that's it on basically me today. There's not a lot going on. So let's move on to today's guests. As I'm sure you can tell by the title, we've got Marv and Jake from MJ's Pythons and Python Junkie, both on Instagram. And together, they are the founders of the Amphibian and Reptile Club. So without any further ado, let's get them on.
Oh, there we are. Nice. Why do I look so tall? Jake, are you slouching? I'm slouching.
Hold on, let me sort this out. This is a great way to start. There we go.
No worries. How are we, guys? All right.
We're good. How are you?
I'm knackered today, but I'm good. Thank you very much for coming on. Obviously, Marv, second time you've been on. Jake, first time you've been on. Together, though, you are the ARC. Obviously, normally I start the podcast with the guest with the get-to-know section, but I'm not going to do that today. I'm going to do it slightly differently. But Jake, perhaps if you come on separately in the future, maybe, then we'll go through them and people can find out all those little questions that I'm sure they want to know. But today, we're just going to go straight into it. So for those listening, could you give us like a blurb of what the ARC show and club is or are, is, and then we'll elaborate on that and dive deep into it.
Sure. I think obviously the ARC, standing for the Amphibian and Reptile Club, is something that we started last year. Something that we've been planning for a number of years now. But it's a club where the idea is that we will run sort of get-togethers, essentially shows, a couple times a year. We're still debating on whether it'll be two or three times a year, but the idea is that it's an all-inclusive event which takes us or brings in people from all over the hobby, from snakes to invertebrates to geckos to frogs. We essentially want a little bit of everything, and the best of the best of each part of the hobby there for people to enjoy and sort of just connect with.
Fantastic. So obviously you said you came up with the idea last year. So when did you sort of have that seed sort of planted? Was it the show you planned on doing first? Or did you want to build the club first, or did they sort of come hand in hand? And then, yeah, where do we start with creating ARC?
You worked the educational shop thing, didn't you?
Yeah, so for years we've been wanting to do, me and Jay have been wanting to do, or me in particular, some sort of educational venue or type thing, sort of pulling away from the breeding slightly, not entirely, but focusing more on education. That thought process led to the idea of doing a show, which I don't even know how that idea first came about. But we probably started talking about that 2 years ago. Right. After, I think it was after the, just after the last IHS and Doncaster.
How did that start?
Yeah.
I don't know how we started the conversation, but the conversation started. And then we were like, okay, let's do this. So for about 2 years, we just spoke about it over internet.
Nah, do you know what I think it was? I think it was what you had the barbecues going, didn't you?
Mm.
And then we were looking for maybe a bigger venue for the barbecues. And then one thing went to the next.
I think, yeah, it was like two conversations. Because we traditionally did a summer barbecue at ours every year where we just invited a few people as a get-together. And I think that then married up with the idea of doing the show, and we thought, okay, why don't we try and do both things in one? Which is why the first half back in the summer had the actual show itself, followed by the after show sort of barbecue. They were the idea of the marriage of the two things together. And I think the more we spoke about it and the more we sort of looked at what's out there, what's around, I mean, we've never been, like, as MJs, I've never been just roles. The MJ's Pythons thing was, at the time, it was sort of made sense. The only real thing we were actually breeding, not necessarily keeping, but breeding with the Royals.
Yeah.
That probably evolved a lot since then. And we've always kept, I mean, I've kept other animals much longer than I've kept Royals. So, and the interest is really in everything else. I think speaking to a lot of Royal breeders about certain shows and just shows in general, I think some people, although they love their Royals and they work with their Royals, get kind of bored seeing the same thing over and over again.
Yeah.
I mean, when I went to the last Doncaster, the only reason I even stopped at a royal table was to say hello to the people behind it. I wasn't necessarily interested. I wanted to see the other stuff. That's the stuff that was exciting me at the time. So the idea was, okay, how do we take that idea and create a show where we can put everything into it? How can we reflect the hobby as a whole? Because the hobby is so much more than just the royals. It's, you know, obviously, the Royals are at the forefront a lot of the time, but there's so much more out there. And how do we find something that represents all of the hobby as a whole, rather than just one aspect of it? And I think that's where the idea then grew from. A lot of conversations later, and a lot of input from a lot of other people later, we did the first show back in July.
Yeah, which I attended. It was a really good show. So that's the first sort of thing I want to touch on. So, obviously, you had your first show in July. How did it go? Like, obviously, I can't imagine it's an easy task to plan it. So, how did it go in terms of what you had in your head to how it actually ran through the day?
I think me and Jake differ on opinion. Jake, you go first.
Personally, I thought it was a test. We had to run it the way that we thought we wanted to run. And then we was expecting feedback anyway, which what we got was pretty, I thought it was pretty good, considering we knew the venue was going to be a bit tight. We knew the parking was lacking. So, I mean, most of the feedback we got was what we sort of already knew anyway.
Okay, so there wasn't... anything that sort of stood out really that you went, oh, blimey, we should have really done that. It was sort of things you were already sort of pre expecting.
Yeah, there were some things that we thought we could have done, but when the show happened, it was like, you know, it could have done without that. And there's also some things that we found out that we don't really need to do, you know?
Yeah.
But I thought it went pretty well. I mean, for me, it was my first sort of show with a table that, even though it wasn't my table, I was still behind the table, sort of looking after the displays and that, which I found quite interesting.
Yeah.
And just having that, the wide array of, because I'm not like Marv. I learn a lot of the stuff from Marv. So a lot of the people were bringing all sorts of creatures and critters that I've never seen before. So I wanted to go and have a look at, you know what I mean, look around myself. And I just found it looked like everyone was having fun. But I sort of didn't want to be behind the table. But I suppose you can't have it both ways, you know. But
I think we're different. I think I wasn't there the night before. And the panic attack started the night before when I realized, holy crap, you know, essentially we planned it, we organized it, or I organized it based on the blueprint of the place.
Yeah.
A lesson learned there, because seeing it in reality was very, very different to, I mean, I've probably spent about 4 hours organizing and reorganizing the layout of those tables, trying to find how do we work with what we now have. So very quickly, I was like, yeah, I will say during the show itself, it was very surreal at moments where I actually stopped, because that's the thing. I never actually spent much time behind the table at all. I was running around like a headless chicken the entire time.
Yeah, I think I saw you for about 4 minutes and it was like a, hello, mate, how are you? And he's gone again.
Yeah, it was run, because I wanted to make sure everyone was happy. I was trying to resolve issues. I know at one point the back got a little bit warm, so I was trying to find how do we open this. It was also incredibly windy, so people's displays were flying all over the place when I did open the window. So then I'm running around with tape, trying to tape people's displays to the actual wall so I can get some ventilation going. So there was a few things there where I was like, this is not what I envisioned. It is, but I was hoping for slightly different. It wasn't exactly what I was hoping for. And I think the major thing there was the actual space itself, which we essentially overbooked. Because I'm basing it on a blueprint which isn't quite, you know, seeing it in the flesh was very different. So immediately I was already like, the space isn't big enough. I think we talked about it after the feedback, and I did urge people to give us feedback in terms of...
Well, the problem is, well, you wanted everyone involved. That was the thing. It was, we could have cut the tables down by 10, but there were people that we wanted to be at the show for the first show.
Yeah. Who were, well, a lot of the people who were at the show were part, what I would say at least 60 to 80% of the tables there were people who actively had a role and listened to me yatter on about how I wanted to organize the show.
Mm.
And so, you know, I think it went well for the first attempt, but it was also a great opportunity to learn a lot, because I pushed for feedback quite a bit. And I know there was loads of people, and I'm grateful to them, who, you know, positive feedback was everywhere. However, the ones I wanted to listen to were the ones that didn't enjoy the day as much, and in particular, why.
It's all well and good having loads of people that say, oh, it was brilliant, I enjoyed every bit, but you want those 4 or 5 people that go, it was good, but actually, this, I didn't like this, or this wasn't quite what I expected.
Well, there was a few people who said it was outright just like not worth it. I'm trying to be politically correct for YouTube. So there are a few people who had very strong views, and I then approached them and you know, just quite curious. I just wanted to know why. Why did you leave with that feeling? Because that's what I want to tackle. When I spoke to a great number of people, to be honest, I started planning the second show whilst the first one was still happening.
Yeah.
Because in my head, I'm already going, right, I need to do this, this, that, and the other.
Well, we sort of knew, didn't we, when the first show was going on, what we could improve on.
Mm.
And the feedback sort of reinforced what we already knew anyway.
Yeah. There are a few bits that gave thought to areas that I hadn't thought about much to begin with, which is the kind of feedback I was really looking forward to, because it's those things where we're not going to spot everything.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we got the variety that we wanted. I was happy with that. We were hoping for a bit more variety, but the first show, I spent probably a couple of months before we sort of announced it and whatever, when we were trying to book tables, really trying to get people outside the Royals sort of to come. Mm. And there was a lot of pushback. There was a lot of people who were very skeptical, weren't very sure. Once they asked what the list is, obviously at that point where we had the Royal tables booked, we were put off by that. So we did well considering how much resistance there was from outside of the Royals to actually have a table to exhibit there.
From an outsider point of view, obviously, I've not been to many shows for many years. I haven't done Doncaster for years or IHS for years. So your show is probably the first one I've been to in like a good 6-7 years. And you expect loads of Royals at all of these things. But I was impressed with the selection of other animals that were there as well. So I would say you probably had, like, for those that didn't go, you were looking at like maybe 2 or 3 tables of Royals, and then you'd get like a table that was completely nothing to do with Royals. Like you had the man with like the tegus and the geckos and all that sort of stuff. And then there was insects and all sorts of other bits as well. So I think you had a really good variety, especially for the amount of tables that were there.
Yeah, so that was obviously something I was really happy with. What I've been even happier with is the first arc essentially opened the doors, because once we announced the second one,
it was a lot more
interesting. Yeah, we couldn't accommodate everyone.
Well, a lot of the amphibian breeders in the
invertebrates,
they were like, we didn't realise it was, or we thought it was just a ball python show.
Mm. Yeah.
And I think word spread quickly, because we announced the tables and we announced the thing that we were going to run it as, you can inquire about a table and then we'll review them on an individual basis.
Yeah.
And that was mostly so that we could have some control of who would be there, in the sense of
species and diversity,
so that we give everyone the opportunity. So before that even happened, I had already limited the 50 tables. We went for bigger tables because we've got a much, much larger venue for this one with massive amounts of parking. I'm really excited for this one.
We'll go on to the all the ins and outs of the upcoming show soon. Don't worry.
When we put that 50 tables up, within 24 hours, I had over 100 people wanting tables. A massive proportion of them were people outside of the Royals.
Mm. Which is really nice as well.
To this day, we're still getting inquiries about exhibiting at future shows and being wanted to add to the waiting list to exhibit in the future. And I'm talking about people outside of the Royals. So this time, I limited it. I said originally no more than 15 Royal tables. No, 20. Then I dropped that to 15. So out of the 50 tables, 15 are Royals. The rest are all people outside of the Royals. Mm. Different species of snakes, different species of amphibians, different species of invertebrates, all sorts. And people are really, really passionate about doing the show.
That's brilliant.
So, we'll get on to the more details. But I think that was where the first one led us. It was, we've done this. It's gone well. People have enjoyed themselves. There's been a few people who've had, you know, not as great a time as we would have hoped. How can we fix it? And I think that was exactly what we needed in order to turn it into what it is, or what it's about to be.
You need a foundation to build off of.
Yeah, definitely. You can't dive into the first one expecting it to go like a solid 10 out of 10. You need that learning experience. It sounds like you guys have gone, you've leveled up a lot, just even in preparations from, let's call it arc two from the original show. Are you able to share any of the sort of more negative feedback that you got that you've improved on this time?
Yes, I think a lot of it, again, was about space, because it was a bit tight at points, both behind behind the tables for the exhibitors, but also the aisles. I think the other few of the other ones was parking. Mm-hmm. One of the ones I was raised a couple of times was pricing on tickets, in particular with respect to children. Which I had, hands down, I never thought, didn't even cross my mind until someone mentioned it during the ticket process. By that point, so many people had done it.
Do you know what I think that was? Because we had, it was a smaller venue, and we were limited for
individuals. Yeah,
do you know what I mean? So it would have been one of them things. I mean, personally, obviously, have a children, but we've sorted that. But it was like I didn't want the place to be half filled with children on a discounted or free, because at the end of the day, the first show came out of our own pockets.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Massively. The first show was at a massive expense to me personally. And it didn't help that and I'm sure other people or people would have known by now, but right during the whole planning and ticket process and coming up to the show, me and Jay got served with the Section 21, which is basically to say the landowner wanted their house back and they were not open to negotiation. We wasted a lot of time in the negotiation phase because they were humming and hawing for a while. And then it was like 2 weeks. It worked out that we had 3 days to move all the animals in here.
That's mad.
So there was a massive amount of stress and other stuff going on in the build-up to the show. So a lot of the stuff that we could have spent more time planning and prepping, I lost all that time because it was literally non-stop go, trying to organise the new place. As a result of that, I had to cut corners and do lastminute.com things, which ended up costing a lot more than it could have. I could have been, spent a little more time, shop around sort of thing. Instead, it was sort of, you know, we need to get this done.
Yeah.
So there was a sort of a cocktail going on with the first one. The children's tickets was definitely something people mentioned. I don't think there was that many people who most people just were curious about as to why there weren't children's prices. We've changed that obviously for this one, and I had already told everyone it was going to change for the next one because it was something I didn't really even consider. Obviously, there was a limited number of people, especially now with venues and the government, because of some sort of like Manchester bomb attacks and yada yada yada. There is now a very strict limit to how many people can be within a venue at any
time. Like you say, and you don't. There's no disrespect to taking children, but at the end of the day, people are there to try and sell some animals. Obviously, they're showing off what they've got, but they want to sell as well. And generally, it's the adults that are buying the animals as opposed to the kids. So if you've got a very limited number, you want the people with the money to get in.
Well, I'm also a massive fan of having kids actually show up. I mean, I obviously, as a teacher, plus I do the sort of school shows for the kids. I think that it's paramount that kids are there because they are the future. However, one of the things we did discuss and go backwards and forwards with was, especially about the kids, was regarding what kids are doing there. So I want it to be, if the kids are attending, they are more than welcome. But I want them to enjoy the animals. I want them to come there because they want to have a look at the different species. They want to enjoy the animals just like we will. Mm. Because we could set up something specifically for the kids. But that's just not the direction we wanted to go in. We wanted it to, you know, and we'll get onto this later and some of the stuff we're planning for Arc 3.
Arc 3?
Yeah.
Well, there's a 3 already. That's an exclusive.
Yes, that's... provided, you know, things go to plan, Arc 3 is... And the thing is, I'm already talking about Arc 16.
Yeah.
That's just the way we work, is we're not doing this for the short haul. We're not doing this as a... Because obviously people will question. I mean, it's not exactly a secret in terms of like how much people are paying for tickets and or tables. Yeah. But the ARC needs to be self-sufficient as a priority. Obviously, the first one wasn't by a long shot. by a massive shot, the first one was not. We're working on things to make it more viable long-term.
Unless you'd be... Messing about with the books.
I have not been messing about with the books, Jake. The books are very strict with the books. So, for example, the merch thing we did recently with Sean as our official merch producer, that's one way of raising money or for anyone who wants to support the show, to support the show, and that money goes towards help fund the future ones.
Yeah.
This new venue is, you know, we've saved costs in areas. But we've also, you know, the venue this time is easily 5-6 times the cost of the first venue.
Yeah.
It's a massive increase in cost, but it will be, I think it, first of all, it was needed, but we're hoping that this new location will be our permanent location moving forward.
Yeah. Okay. So let's move on to Arc 2. So what is new and improved? Let's start there.
Venue size. I think the venue is about 4 times, if not 5 times, the size of the first venue. The building is about 3 years old.
It's a lot more modern.
Very modern. It is a sports hall, so, you know.
Right. The vendors have a lot more space as well, don't they?
Yeah, the first time we're like, how are we going to fit all the tables in there? This time is like, how do we spread the tables out in a way that doesn't make it feel like everyone's concentrated in the corner and the entire area is empty? So now it's, you know, it could definitely hold more than 50 tables. But that's not what we're interested in, necessarily. We're not interested in, let's just ram as many tables in here as possible. We want it to have the feel of the first show. I think one of the positive things that came back from this first show for a lot of people was the vibe.
Yeah, very friendly. There was a really friendly vibe for the whole show.
We wanted to keep that. I don't want it to suddenly become this, you know, let's just ram as many tables in there and it lose that personal touch. Obviously, this time it's got a massive amount of on-site parking, which is something we worked out from the last one. Even more diversity for this one than the previous one, which we're really looking forward to. Again, we're looking at literally the best in the business in each area there. I mean, you know, everyone... And, you know, we're within the actual process of picking who got tables where, when, and why. we're looking at a few things. It's not necessarily always, you know, you must have insane, you know, multi-gene, multi-recessive morphs and royals to even have a table at this place. That's not what it's about. What it's about is quality and passion more than anything. We want people who are going to interact with the guests. We want people who are so passionate about their projects, they can't wait to talk to people about them and show them off. That's what we, that's the key to, I think, the first arc. And what we had there was people who had passion behind the things that they were working on.
Yeah, most definitely. I think I probably stopped and chatted at, I'd say 95% of the tables, and most people I didn't know when I turned up. And I felt like all the vendors at the Arc One were very friendly. And like you say, they were happy to show off what they've got. Like, there was some cool stuff. Obviously, they were exhibiting as well as selling. So they were bringing things that weren't for sale, but they were like, how cool is this? I produced this year. And everyone was more than happy to chat.
And I think that
yeah, brings it all in.
One of the key things about the Arc is it's an exhibition show.
Mm.
And a few people have asked me for tables, and their reason for, or people I approached the first time around who talked about not being able to make back the money they spend on the show, which I understand. But I think all our exhibitors know that it's primarily an exhibition show. And surplus things, yeah. I mean, if exhibitors can move on surplus animals, then I will be happy for it. But that's not the primary goal of the Arc. Mm. And my thing is, like, okay, there we have shows out there. Okay, the IHS has just passed. The IHS is a sales show, right? It's promoted as such. That's what it's for. And if people are looking for a show to attend to just, you know, grab themselves a good deal and a bargain on a snake or whatever it is, that's what the IHS is there for. That's what it's tailored for. The Arc is not tailored towards that.
Well, I call it it's a private view.
It's a private view.
Show me this stuff.
And, you know, if people are showing off amazing projects they're working on and they have animals from that project that they can then have there to get other people involved in that project, that's amazing. That's sort of what we want. And so the vision of the Arc is an exhibition. It is people experiencing and seeing and talking to people about things that they haven't necessarily seen before, haven't necessarily, you know, some of the people there don't do shows anywhere else. And we're, you know, we're fortunate. I mean, there are a number of people who showed up for the first Arc who had never done a show and came out of the woodwork to do show at the Arc, which we were really, really, you know, we were blessed to have them, to be honest, because we are talking about literally the top dogs in the UK, above and beyond. And they're not so out in the open as, you know, I mean, I put my plaster on my face and everything.
But, yeah, me too. You know,
they're more private people. They're doing what they're doing, but they actually came out in support of First Arc and were there, and they're back for round two. Mm-hmm. And we're so grateful to them because they are literally people you won't see anywhere else. Because they don't do other shows anywhere else, you won't see it. So, you know, the future of the Arc is, I wouldn't say evolving, but it's living up to the vision I had originally more and more. And, you know, just to tease for future, one of the things we want more is for individuals attending the show to have the opportunity to interact with things.
That's
And interact more than just window shopping and just walking by tables. And I think, you know, it's no secret we don't allow prices on the boxes.
Yeah,
because
just engage. If you want, one of my things was I didn't want pricing on the tubs.
Mm.
I mean, obviously for like social media purposes and the entities out there, they don't want photographs and numbers on it. So my thing was I didn't want pricing. Engage with the visitors, you know, engage with the punters, get them interested and then speak to them. Find out if they want anything. It's talk to the people that's coming towards your table. You know,
it's almost like a show and tell as opposed to a cobble sale.
Just engage with someone, you know, because I'm terrible. I won't talk to you. I'm not being an ass, but I'm quite sort of standoffish and I'll just stay by myself. But if you say hello to me and I walk past your table, I'm going to stop and have a chat with you, you know? And that's what I wanted, basically for my own selfish sort of reasons.
Really? That's why I started the podcast. I'm generally quite a shy person. Like, unless I know you, I will probably just say, I might not even say hello, But since I started the podcast, I'm getting like chatting to people, I'm knowing more people, and I'm quite open. So obviously I'm vending at ARC 2, and I'm very excited about it. It'll be my first time vending. And like you say, I'm looking forward to just meeting those people and having a chat. It'll be really good.
So I think it's the vision of the ARC, and I was saying about interaction, is obviously by removing the pricing, I don't want people just walking around, just sort of eyeballing numbers and going, meh, meh, meh. That's not what the show's about. I don't want people to experience that. Like you just mentioned, car boot sale, it ain't car boot sale.
Yeah.
I think one of the reasons it's a club is that it is private. Now, we've gone back and forwards with what makes a club and whatever. A club is a group, collection of people. Now, I'll talk a little bit later about the plans moving forward with the whole club scenario. But in terms of like interaction, the reason we picked the venue we have, and we'll be talking to a lot of people between now and whenever we announce the next one, about interaction and interactive stations. We want as many interaction stations as we can. And I'm talking things like, you know, hands-on experience with some of the animals.
Like a petting zoo.
For example, is one idea.
Sort of, yeah.
An ultrasound station where someone can come along and have a look and you know, learn more about ultrasounding, if that's what interests
them. That's a cool idea.
Photo booth.
Was going to do something, wasn't he?
On the photo booth. So someone with experience in photography, etc., setting up somewhere where people can go and learn to take a bit, you know, pictures. How do they get the pictures the way they do? What are they looking at? Are they using their phone? You can use your phone. I mean, we do. And when we've learned a lot, I mean, if you scroll through our Instagram from beginning to now, you see the quality of imaging has improved significantly. And you know, we've been sort of coursed into that, right? We've been sort of trained, if you will, and how you can get that kind of quality image out of just a phone. Yeah. And I think that's something a lot of people in some cases struggle with, or are not as well informed as they could be. So they can stop at that station and interact and have a look. Oh, I didn't realize this setting even existed on my phone.
Yeah.
For example, there's loads of things, and there's people who've put forward suggestions. For example, we had a suggestion recently from one of our exhibitors saying, what if we thought about potentially having an area with Viv's pre-set up? With or without the animals, just as an exemplar to how to keep certain species, right? Yeah. So, for example, us in Royals, and, you know, there's the community split in half about the tubs, and we won't get into that. But I think most of us who keep the Royals and actually work with them understand, and me from a person, I'm a bit unique in the sense of I was an anti-rack person when I first started. And then I eventually decided, okay, what the hell, give it a go. Let's see what this is all about. And I saw a massive improvement in the actual health of the animals.
Yeah.
Right. And I know people talk about clutter and whatever. Believe me, I've been there, done that. So that aside, for someone coming from, you know, a room of racks, for example, who keeps royals, may not be as informed of, okay, how do I set up this species or that species? What, you know, yeah. I might be interested. They might walk around and go, you know, I'd really love to get some dart frogs. Well, I would really love to get this monitor or that lizard, and not actually, instead of them having to go away and do tons of research, we could have an area there where people can go to and actually immediately see what kind of space we're talking, what kind of setup we're talking, you know, what's involved in actually keeping that animal. And instead of just having to read through it, have something they can interact with and see with, you know, with their eyes and touch with their hands and see, okay, this is the commitment that I'm looking to. Okay, I would love to get this species, but this is the commitment that comes with it.
I think that's a brilliant idea, because it's all well and good reading it online, but seeing it in person is a completely different experience.
Mate, Viv in real life is quite big.
Oh, listen, the venue's area was massive, the first one, until you put the tables in there. And then it's like, oh God, you know, seeing numbers is very different to seeing these things in the flesh.
So I changed the subject. What are we doing about food?
Oh, it's okay. All right. That's coming up in a second. I was going to. We'll go for it now. What will there be? Food and drink.
Yes, that was one piece of feedback. So
Jay's sister's dealing with that, isn't she?
No, not anymore. Oh no, in terms of the provision, yes, sure, she's helping me. So one of the people who's also heavily involved in the ARC is Jay's sister-in-law, who actually lives in the area. She helped us secure both venues. She's the one doing the runaround in the local area. And we talked about wanting to get the locals involved. Now, the first one, obviously, we did the barbecue after. We had sort of a snack stand type thing during the day there. But we wanted to provide more for people. So what we're doing for this one is we're looking at potentially two or three different catering vans to be on site, right? And the reason I want two or three is that, you know, mix it up. So, you know, someone might be doing hot food, someone might be doing drinks and snacks. And we want to sort of give back, but also give back to the local area by inviting them to be there, right? Yeah. So there'll be individuals who live in the local area, work in the local area, who'll be setting stuff up on the day to provide food for everyone. So that provision will be there for people who want it. We've done away this time with the whole VIP / we were going to end up calling it gold ticket thing because it's our first time at this venue. The time of year isn't ideal for certain things. And there's a few more things we want to iron out. We decided to sort of do away with the sort of after show food thing. We still have time after the show for the vendors to have a quieter sort of cool down, if you will. It's not a rush. We need to pack up and get out.
Well, that's it. There's stuff we've learned from the first one that we can delegate to someone else. We don't have to have that headache.
Yeah.
Well, it's also like we want to.
Well, you want to do everything.
I want to do everything. That's the problem. That's my issue. I want to do all of it because it's like I'm a control freak. So, delegating is a problem.
Until the barbecue starts and you vanish for an hour.
And Andy takes over the property. Yeah, don't let Andy near a barbecue. Say no more. But, no blessing. But we wanted to focus on the show itself this time around, right? And put our energy and our resources, as limited as they are, into the actual show itself, right? Yeah. Let's work on that. And then we can work on the additions later. We've not done away with the idea permanently. We're just saying for this one, it's a new venue. The expenses are a little bit higher. Our resources are limited. We don't have an endless supply. And all of this stuff is predominantly funded primarily by us. And then obviously once tables come out, etc.
Yeah, you get like sort of almost reimbursed with it afterwards. But you still got to put that initial outlay.
Exactly. So to help with that, we've gone, okay, let's do away with the after. Let's focus on the show itself, bigger venue, yada, yada, yada. And let's really make this one the one that I could walk out going, yeah, that was a massive. And I think I'm really excited for it. I mean, it's going to be a much bigger venue. I think we'll find ourselves with different challenges because now we're looking at a much larger space, but not necessarily the tables to fill it all, right?
Yeah.
So it'll be a bit more spread out. But I think
this is the Mark II.
This is the Mark II, and it's the bedwork for Mark III because we have that idea for the interaction, but that needs time. We're already in talks with people, etc. That takes time to set up, and that won't necessarily be a chargeable thing. That's more of a I want to give people the space to do what they do.
This is sort of built on the feedback, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it is built. Yeah. All of it is built on the feedback.
We might have gone from. It's not enough space to like now we've got too much space, but
better too much space because obviously we've tried to implement all the feedback we got, but it's somewhat impossible to do it with that much turnaround, with that sort of length of time. So there's something that we can do immediately, and there's other things which take a little bit more time to actually get the wheels moving and make it work. So the venue we were looking at lots of not just let's just find a venue that will do for now.
Mm.
Let's find a venue that, the school itself is part of the trust I work for. So there's a nice level of communication there. Mm. I do private things for the school itself, in terms of the animals with the kids outside of the show. So let's find someone we can build a good relationship with, secure a venue for the long term that has the potential to grow with what we're looking at doing in the future, rather than let's keep skipping all over the place every time. Let's find the home for the Ark and an area where all the ideas that we've got cooking for the future can fit into it rather than
outgrowing. We had to tick all the boxes, didn't it? There were certain things that we needed. Because
We
found there were a few venues that we found, but it was
15 or 20 that we looked at.
Yeah, it was like it only ticked one of the three or two of the three. And this one seems to be...
It ticked all the boxes nicely.
From what I've seen online, obviously from what you guys have posted, it looks like the venue looks like a massive step up from Arc 1. Like even just the parking situation, like obviously I think you had space for like 9 cars and then it was parking on the road at the first show, whereas this one has, like you say, it's got a huge car park and there's additional parking if you need it as well.
Yeah, it's 120 allocated spaces there to be used. There is on-street parking. We will also be talking to the venue itself, depending on the turnout. I mean, it's building astronomically as we speak. But depending on the turnout and how we find a parking situation as a result of this one, if there is further issue, we can then talk to the actual venue and the neighbouring areas to find, if needed, an overflow car park.
Yeah.
We also, one of the things that this one ticked nicely is that it is within walking distance of a train station. So some people prefer not to drive. They prefer to just get the train there, enjoy the show, get on the train, go home. And so this was ideal there because you've got Raynham train station within a reasonable walk from the actual venue. So people who do want to, for example, travel from further away and don't want to do the long drive and prefer, because there was a few people who said to us, it would have been nice if there was a train station because we would have come, you know, they came from Liverpool, for example, and they would have happily just jumped on the train instead of driving all the way down there. So that was something we were looking at as well.
I know a few people that wanted to turn the last one as well, and they didn't because they can't drive and there was no like easy transport link. So having a train station within walking distance is perfect.
Exactly. So this was something we were looking at. There were so many of those bits and pieces of feedback, and to be honest, I had them all written down somewhere. But everything, when we were looking at the new venue, we were looking at what we're doing this time around, we were trying to tick off all of them, and I think we succeeded in ticking off pretty much every piece of feedback and things that people thought could have been improved, as well as our own criticisms of ourselves. I mean, I was there already the whole day, stressed out and criticising myself as the show went on. And will the second one be perfect? No, but that's the plan, right?
Nothing's perfect anyway. You can always improve from
exactly
wherever. So that's really so. It sounds like Arc 2 is going to be fantastic, and obviously, it sounds like you've got Arc 3 through to 25 planned in your heads as well. I'm really excited.
All right, the Arc 2.
What can people expect in the way of vendors in Arc 2? Obviously, you're not going to, don't list off every single person because I don't want you to miss anyone. But in the way of animals, what sort of things can we expect?
Outside of the Royal Pythons, which we've got people like George Aldridge, New Gene Balls, we've got Dave Davis coming, yourself, us, and a whole host of other amazing breeders. The dynamic Darren duo, which I'll return.
Double Darren.
Double Darren, that's a table to behold. Not necessarily just the animal, all about the characters behind it. But other than that, we have, and if I can remember names, I'll plug them. If not, I will just say species. But I know we've got Alison Waters doing an incredible line of Chihuahua geckos, so mossy geckos, Pine Island Reds, which are amazing. We've got a few people doing leopard geckos. I know we've got a few stands doing dart frogs. Some amazing morphs of white tree frogs. We have about four tables of invertebrates and different types of invertebrates, so tarantulas, scorpions, stick insects, and then some. In terms of the lizards, I'm just trying to think. We've got someone doing, and something I'm really interested to see actually is colubrids, but we have Milk State Mutations who does hybridizing of certain of the the colubrid species, a lot of the milk snakes, and some of the stuff I've seen pictures of is like, what the hell? How does that even exist? So that's something I'm really looking forward to seeing. We have, I know someone's doing lychees, gargoyle geckos. We've got people doing sort of bespoke 3D printed work, for example, for those species, which I'm looking forward to getting some because they look awesome. But it's more about, we've got a variety of things going on. So, you know, some people will be doing animals only. Some people, or a lot of people, are doing sort of a mixture. So, for example, Lulu is doing royals, but also isopods, some of the others.
There's Lulu from Rebel Regis.
Yes, some of her other sort of merchy bits, which are really cool. So the idea is we want
3D printed isopods are really cool. But I feel like I could spend so much money on them.
So she's doing all that. And that's the kind of thing that we're looking at. So we're looking at, I think we've pretty much touched on all the different areas of species. Now, obviously, the future is looking at what new can we add, right?
Yeah.
What new species? I mean, one thing we're lacking somewhat at the moment, in my head, are monitors. And monitors are not the easiest thing to display, right? So what we don't want necessarily is forcing people to, or not forcing people, but sort of forcing the idea of we want monitors, and then someone brings monitors in like cloudy boxes and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate something like, for example, Peach behind me, who's currently sunbathing, she would be a nightmare to display without a massive viv. Right? Yeah. She wouldn't be an ideal display animal. So there are limitations there.
We'll have an argument about that later.
We can argue about Peach later. But do you know what I mean? So it's always looking at what new things, what new people can we get involved that brings something unique.
Because we've limited the tables to keep it diverse, it doesn't mean like the ARC 3 will have the same vendors.
No.
So each show within theory should have a significant different amount of vendors. So it won't be boring. You know.
No, brilliant. So in theory, every time you come, you'll be looking at something completely different.
Precisely, that's the idea. Yeah. The idea is that each time we have a rota on who's exhibiting. So every time you come to the ARC, because, you know, if we end up doing two or three shows a year, what we don't want is the same thing happening again and again.
Yeah.
We want each one to be unique to the last one. So
no, it makes sense. So for Royals, for example, you don't want the same vendor coming back three times with the same snakes so that they're just slightly bigger from the last show.
But then also, see, another thing I like is, You have to have some effort. Put some effort into it.
Mm.
You know, it's not just because you didn't go, or just because you was at this show, doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be at the next one.
Mm.
You know, there was people at the first ARC that didn't have the expensive displays and whatever, but they put effort into their display.
Yeah.
And then because of that effort and what you said, like the passion of it, you got invited to the next one.
That's what we're vibing, you know? It's not about, when we ask for people to put effort into their displays, I'm not saying go out there and spend hundreds or if not thousands of pounds on display units and whatever. That's beside the point.
Yeah.
The point is, you know, it's the attention to detail.
Yeah, definitely. Like you want nice tubs with clean. You want like maybe some stickers or some flyers. You want... Like, you don't want them just to have a plain table with some tubs on it.
Voodoo Critters, yeah. See, who had the sort of little desk lights, the little desk.
Yeah.
And she wrapped fake plants around them. So when you walked, it just looked like leaves on her table. It looked like plants growing on her table. But they were the light source. That tiny little attention to detail, that tiny little thing, is what we're looking at. We're looking at people who take pride in their displays. And that's not to say that, oh, because I've got this expensive display unit, or because I have a display unit full stop, that's my effort. That's not necessarily it, because you can have whatever display you want. But if you're sat behind your table, like with your head down,
it gets noticed, doesn't it? It does.
And it's not just us who notice. It's also people who are walking around. Because
you want them to be engaging, don't you?
Well, precisely. We want people to enjoy their time there and enjoy meeting the people behind the animals.
Well, that's what the vibe was at the first.
That was what the vibe was. So that's what we're trying to hold on to
and
keep as we move forward. And when I talk to people who ask for tables, I know it's through message, but some of them, you sense that passion instantaneously.
Yeah.
You get some people like, yeah, I'd like a table, please. And that's it. And then you get some people who message, and I swear to you, it took me half hour to read through and look at all the pictures they sent me with what they're working with and how much. Do you know what I mean? So looking through it, as soon as I see that incredible passion that they've got, they're the kind of people I want there, because I know they're going to be buzzing. They're going to want to talk to every single person who walks through that door. And everyone who does speak to them is going to be left with that really positive feel and vibe as a result of that.
Exactly. If they have a positive experience with as many sellers as possible, then they're going to leave the show going, oh my God, it was really good. Like, I met this person, I chatted with this person. Even if they come, like I did last time, I didn't buy anything last time. I had no plans on buying. I just came and chatted and met loads of people. And I left going, I really enjoyed that. I love chatting to everybody. So, yeah, I think that whole, like, in getting people engaged, getting people chatting, you don't want people sat behind tables just playing on their phones, like, all right, want to buy something. Like, you want that, like, it's almost like going, I don't know what I'm trying to say. I don't know what the word is. But well, yeah, I'll you want it, that sense of community.
I'll put it in a way where I can, and this is to no disrespect to the IHS, I didn't want it to be like the last Doncaster that we went to.
Mm.
And that's not a reflection on the IHS itself necessarily, but walking around, it was like with a lot of people is you are invisible unless you have money in your hand.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when people talk to you. Mm-hmm. And even then, it's almost like I was doing them a favor.
Yeah.
that's not what I wanted. I didn't want that. And I wanted it to feel like everyone is welcome. Everyone who's making the effort to actually come down to the show is being greeted with that welcoming response, right? I didn't want people to be, you know, they've made the effort to come down, they've bought tickets and they're in there now, and they feel like a bit funny about because they're...
Well, it's like if someone comes to your house to see your collection, you're showing them. You know, that sort of, it's a different thing, isn't it? It's not just, do you want to buy it? It's, look, I've got, this is really nice. It's like, I really like this. What do you think? You know, because my thing is, we provide the space and the table and whatever. If you want to look at the show as somewhere that you're going to sell animals, that's up to you. But put the effort in. Yeah. Don't just expect to turn up and be like, I didn't sell anything. What did you do? Did you just sit there? Or did you engage and encourage people?
Because we had one particular pair, one or two people who were disappointed that it wasn't worthwhile because they didn't sell anything. And my retort to that was, I did tell you at the start, that's not what this is about.
Mm-hmm.
If you, for example, we've got all sorts of people bringing stuff, you know, there's a bunch of DG Clown stuff, DG Pied stuff. We've got Puzzle, Lulu's doing the puzzle stuff. And I want people to sit there behind their projects that they're really passionate about and not sell the animals, but sell their passion and sell their projects.
Yeah, right? Most definitely.
This is why you should be into this, right? Here's the, and that's why we refer to people as exhibitors rather than vendors.
Not sellers, man. You've got to stop saying sellers, mate.
No, all right. The idea or the reason we push the term exhibitors is that is their primary, that's what we want them to do primarily. We want them to exhibit the stuff they're working with. JVK last time had three of those rack things, right?
Yeah.
Filled with animals. And I think he had one available animal in the entire thing. He just wanted to show off what he's working with. He just wanted to get people excited. And it's, you know, the JVK comes to mind because...
Well, Mike did the same, didn't he?
Mike, yeah. So Mike did more his working on his sort of rack thing. And it's not... And Benji.
Benji brought his fibs down, didn't he?
Yeah. And it was about showing people what you're working on rather than, you know, here's my surplus.
Yeah.
Right? So even we had a few bits of surplus, but I left a lot at home. Because I didn't want to prioritize the surplus over the stuff I wanted to share with people that we produced and we'd be working on. And it was a lot of the surplus were related to the projects that those animals that were on show only were about.
Well, it's show off your animals, promote yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, you could bring the best stuff that you have, leave the sellers at home.
Yeah. Contact me later.
Exactly.
If you've sold,
here's my social medias, here's my Insta.
Precisely. There doesn't even need to be. You know, I know the market at the moment, people are on and on and on about the market being slow and whatever. And yes, the cost of living is hurting a few people. People don't have the financial stability they had previously to be able to just spend money at random with these animals. So I think in that regard, people are more picky with where they spend their money, right?
Most definitely.
So instead of just trying to flog cheap snakes at a show, why not get people to see why that project's worth getting into? Because say Lulu, for example, with the puzzle, if she sits there and really sells off this puzzle, which it doesn't take much, does it, right? You see them in the flesh, it doesn't take much.
Yeah.
You sit there and you see incredible animals, that's going to make you want to go home and try and get yourself into that project.
Yeah.
Now, it doesn't mean that you have to walk out of the show with anything in your hand. That's not the reason, right? But now you have a passion for this project because this person has sat there, spoke to you, shown you, invigorated you with the project that they're working on. You're going to go away and go, I wonder if they've got any bits in that project available, right? New Gene Balls, for example, Scott and Lee with the Dark Sun and the Dark Matter stuff, right? And the Dark Nova. God's sake, you catch me off guard. but them, for example, they sit there with that stuff and someone might be like, I'd love to get into that, right? I'm seeing it now in the flesh. And sometimes Karens don't show off the full beauty of some of these animals. And we're just talking about royals here. Never mind all the other stuff, right?
There was some stuff at that the first arc that I've never seen before.
Oh, equally.
Look at Jeanette.
Yeah.
She ended up picking up two. She got two things, didn't she, man? And I get nothing.
She ended up going home with the gargoyle and the leopard gecko. But, you know, it's seeing them in the flesh.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, then it's that sort of thing as well. It's like, just because, like, I don't know, the way that I would say it, just because you've got no money in your pocket doesn't mean you're not allowed to see that animal.
Exactly. Yeah,
exactly.
And where else are you going to go and see the animal? Because, you know, there are other small shows around now which do also, people do take their exhibit animals there. So there are those options. But, you know, you go to the IHS, the majority of people's tables are going to be a surplus because that's what it's intended for, right? So you might go up to someone there who works with Puzzle, because we've been talking about Puzzle, for example, and see a table filled with normals and pastels. They have Puzzle.
Yeah.
And someone might jump on that opportunity. But without actually sitting there and seeing the project in its full, in its entirety, it's hard to get people to really understand what it is they're actually looking at.
No, I completely agree. That makes perfect sense.
And obviously, that's me just talking about royals. Never mind seeing some of these species of amphibian. And some species which some people have been nervous to get into because of sometimes misinformation.
Yeah, so for like, for example, dart frogs, like as me and you spoke about dart frogs on your episode previously, like I love a dart frog. I don't keep them. But for me to be able to go like to the show and look at different species of dart frog in person, talk to the people that like are keeping them and breeding them or just keeping whatever and say, you know, like, oh, I'm thinking about getting them. Can you point me in the direction and actually see them instead of like Googling it and sort of guessing and then, or possibly going to like a pet shop and not necessarily like, maybe getting misinformed, not that all pet shops do it, but some of them aren't as well educated as others. So being able to talk to people like that, you guys have specifically handpicked, that I would then know they are trusted sources.
No, absolutely. And it's, I think the dart frog situation, for example, most people think dart frogs are incredibly difficult to keep, right? They're very sensitive animals. And for the most part, yes, compared to, let's say, a ball python or a corn snake, they are far more sensitive. But they're not that hard to keep if you know what you're, if you've been properly informed as to what you should do with them and how you should do them. I've got a room downstairs with dart frogs. An entire room is dart frogs.
I help myself later.
And the amount of time that I have to physically put into them is very minimal. Right. Once you've got the basics there, you can enjoy them without the worry of, you know, and I mean, there's so many species out there where a lot of the misinformation that continues today comes from the days where 90% of these animals were imported from the wild.
Yeah.
Right. And when they were imported from the wild, yes, they were fragile as hell. I mean, chameleons, Yemen chameleons in the day, you know, they were down the way home from the shop. They buy them from the shop and they're down in the journey home because these animals are so stressed and they've been through so much trauma that they are weakened and they're not, you know, but with so many generations now of captive bred animals and people have actually been really taking the time to work with these species, keeping a dart frog need not be any more difficult than keeping a royal python or keeping an gecko.
Provided, I think the idea is if you went up to any vendor or exhibitor at the Ark, you saw something that you liked, if you walked away, you should, in my ideal world, you should walk away from that table knowing everything that you possibly should know about that species. Yeah. You know?
No, and I think that's where the interactive stuff comes in.
Yeah.
If we can have an exhibitor standing there behind a table of, say, dart frogs, talking about what they need or whatever, and that person can then walk along to the exhibit area where we've got the pre-set up enclosures and see with their eyes exactly this is what's involved, right? They've just heard it from the breeder, they've walked over and they can now see it in the flesh and they can feel more secure in looking into other species, right? I think what happens a lot is, I'm seeing less of it now, or I'm seeing more diversity now, but there are a lot of people who are single species only. There's nothing wrong with that, but there are people who are single species only because they don't feel confident in venturing out elsewhere. Right. Or, for example, there are people who keep animals and don't want to venture into other animals because of the alleged expense of keeping them or the alleged effort. Or, you know, the thing I hate most is there's no money in them. Right. Now, if that's what you want to focus on, by all means, go for it. Our dart frog room is for us. Right. So if we produce some dart frogs, which we produced a lot of last year, and moved every single one of them on, if there's some that get produce a surplus and we sell on, that's a benefit. To be honest, all of that and then some goes on buying new plants. Plants are damn expensive for some reason. But do you know what I mean? It's I want people to feel, first of all, enjoy their day. Second of all, leave their feeling like, you know what? If I wanted to at a later stage, I now feel far more confident in working in that with those with that species. I feel like I'm in a position now where I'm more confident in going out there. Actually, you know, some people are on the verge. They'd love to have a dart frog, but they're not quite sure if they're ready to take that thing. And seeing it in the flesh and interacting with it in that way can be the turning point for people to enjoy other species as well.
That makes perfect sense. So we've been going for an hour now, so I am going to start wrapping it up. We've got a few more bits to go through. So... we'll be here forever, otherwise. I don't get me wrong, I'm quite happy to stay forever, but I am absolutely exhausted. I've been up since 6 and I was running as hard. I need a nap. So, when is the next show? What time is the next show running? This is what we're talking about, ARC2. And if you are happy to share, where exactly in the world is ARC2?
So, ARC2 is taking place on November 11th. It will start at 11 and finish at 4. I have that right. 11 to 4. Just make sure I know what I'm talking about.
Well, that was one of the criticisms from the first one, is the vendors had to turn up too early.
Right.
And that the show itself was too long. And others then said, well, it's not really worth doing it for too short of a time. So we met them in the middle and condensed it by 1 hour.
That makes
so
sense.
It's from 11 till 4, taking place on November 11th. And it is, if you went to, attended the last one, it's about 5 minutes away from the other one. So it's still in the Sittingbourne area. Sittingbourne, Raynham area.
Brilliant. And if people are listening and they want to come to the show, obviously as a attendee as opposed to an exhibitor, because obviously the table's already full, how can they get tickets?
So ticket-wise at the moment, we are still, you have to be a member of the group, right? So what we're saying is this is a private event for group for a
Facebook group.
For the club. Right. So currently the Facebook group is the primary place where you need to be. So Amphibian and Reptile Convention over on Facebook, that group is a private group. So when you ask to join, we will vet people and look through it because we want certain people involved in that. Right. That will change for the next one. So for this one, head over onto Facebook. It's free to join.
The link will be in the show notes as well.
Yeah. We will just have to look through your application or look through, you know, just do a light bit of vetting, get through that, and then you'll be in the group. Once you're in the group, you can then apply for tickets, and it's simple as sending some information. There is a post pin on that group where you just send your information off to an email address. We then review your ticket application. If you're approved, you receive a response email with the approval and how to pay for your tickets, and then once that's done, you get your physical tickets. This time we've actually created physical tickets, which we're asking people to print, so that prevents as well any, you know, anyone who doesn't officially have a ticket from being there. So physical ticket.
And what is the vetting process, or what sort of, what are you sort of, don't go through the whole thing, but what are you looking for?
More than anything for a presence, right? We want to see someone who's active in the hobby. Now, what we want to see is someone who engages with the community. We want to be able to host this event for a long time to come. That's the idea, until we give up. No, don't give up easy. But what we're looking for is individuals who are active in the community who we can invite to the show, because unfortunately there are people, and we, you know, if you've been in the hobby long enough, and not even that long, if you've been in it for any period of time, you know there are people with ill intentions, and we are trying to protect the show from those with ill intentions. I mean, I'd love a show where I could just go, you know what, screw it, anyone come, right? But at the same time, you know, for both those reasons and just general legal reasons, as you know, selling animals is not exactly something that
it's not as straightforward as a cob.
It's not as straightforward as people may think, right? Yeah. This is why we're very specific with people. We're staying within the legal guidance of, we're running a private event for club members, right? That's primary, that's number one. So it's private and it's for members of the club. And two, individual, if there are any transactions involving our animals, it must be surplus stock.
Yeah.
Or surplus animals that someone has created through their breeding program, through their hobby, to other hobbyists, right?
Yeah.
We're not selling pets to anyone, right? Yeah. We're selling, if anyone is moving on their surplus, it's to another collector or breeder.
Yeah.
So that people are essentially trading projects. They're working within their projects as part of their hobby. So I will talk briefly, because I've mentioned this before, but very briefly, about the actual club. It is free now, okay? There's been a lot of discussion around this topic, about membership fees for being part of the actual club. We didn't want to do it initially because we didn't want to alienate anyone, right? Mm-hmm. So we've decided these first two are free to be part of the club so that people can have the experience. They can come to this and have this as an opportunity to see whether this is something they want to be a part of long term or not, right? So you can come now. There is no membership fee to be part of the club. It's simply just a small ticket fee. However, moving forward, we haven't ironed out all the full details yet, but it will become it will turn into a subscription basis. And we will share, you know, very briefly, there are whole hosts of reasons that are all directly to protect everyone attending, both visitors and exhibitors, right? So the full details will come out later, but the likelihood is by the next event, whenever that shall be, by the next event, there will be some sort of membership fee involved in being a member of the ARC.
Okay? Yeah, which I think is quite a regular thing for most of the other shows and club meetings anyway, so it won't
be coming as a shock. Right? How much doing something as small as that, and we didn't want people to think that we're just charging you just to be able to even come to this place. I will do a video and we'll do a lot more talks as to the reasons why, and be very transparent in the reasons why we're doing this. But you'd be surprised at how many things, by having a subscription service in place, how much it protects people and how many things it protects people from. So it's not a case that we were trying to do it permanently free. But we're now thinking, you know, even cost-wise, whatever, it's coming. The exact details are not there. It's to protect the show itself, everyone involved, and ensure the ARC is going to be around for many more years. And it's not going to be something that popped up and, oh yeah, do you remember the ARC? Yeah, they did a couple of shows and they vanished. We're not here to do a one show wonder. We're here to do this for the long term. We have many, many, many plans and many ideas that are going to take a while to come into fruition. But all I can say is that each successive show will be greater and grander than the last.
I really look forward to it. Like from our chat today, obviously, I can tell that there's a lot in the work, be it for ARC 2.0 or ARC, whichever number we're on. I really look forward to seeing the way it evolves and expands, not necessarily in size, but just in, like, I don't know what the word is, but you know what I mean, just as a general show. It sounds really, really good, and I honestly can't wait to come along. So before we finish off, is there anything else you guys wanted to add about the show at all, or do you think we pretty much covered everything that needed covering today?
Jake?
No, I just get your tickets, have fun, enjoy yourself.
I will say, definitely get your tickets, because there is a limited
number. Oh, and your T-shirts. Make sure you get your T-shirts.
Yeah. Ticket-wise, we are almost at capacity now, so if you haven't got one yet, please go ahead and do that, because when they're out, they're out. Mm. We're limited by, legally, how many people we can have in that building.
Yeah.
Right. So there is a legal limit to how many individuals, how many bodies we can have in that building. That's why there is a limited number of tickets. Two, as Jake said, if anyone out there wants to support the ARC, the best way you can do that is through our merch. All the money raised from the merch goes directly into planning of the future shows. Mm. So if you want to help, we talked about earlier having that initial sort of pot to offset to put into the actually running this thing. That's the best way currently that you can help us, right? And if it's not through us and it's not through Sean, it ain't ARC merch.
No, that's brilliant. And finally, before we go, do you want to plug yourselves as well? So where can people find you individually, and then where can they find more information about the ARC show? Obviously, we've mentioned Facebook already.
Okay, so
Python Junkie UK. You can find me on Instagram. winding someone up on Facebook or yeah, you find annoyed on was it Discords?
Yeah, you'll find me pretty much everywhere. Well, MJ's Pythons is the primary place to go, right? I scatter myself all over the place, but MJ's Pythons. Feel free to message either of us about ARC details.
Oh, message
me. there's also an ARC Instagram where we put all the updates on as well. Although we both share it to our personal pages and our personal breeder pages, the ARC face Instagram, so the Amphibian and Reptile Club Instagram account, is there just solely for ARC information. Mm-hmm. So if anyone is interested in finding more about the ARC, that's the place to go.
Fantastic. Brilliant. Right. Well, I've really enjoyed chatting to you guys, and I cannot wait to see you in November. So yeah, that's us for today. So thank you very much for coming on. I'm going to say goodbye, and I'm sure we will catch up again very, very soon. So thanks a lot.
Absolutely. You're very welcome.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Cool. Right. Well, I hope if you were on the fence about coming to the ARC show that you are now fully invested and are going to get straight on it and get yourself some tickets, because if nothing else, it'd be nice to see some faces. And obviously you can tell how much effort that all the guys at the ARC team are putting into the show as well. So it sounds absolutely fantastic. If you are still listening, first of all, thank you very much. If you haven't subscribed or followed or whatever the option is on the platform you're listening to, please like, follow, subscribe, all that sort of stuff. It's all free features and it really helps the podcast grow as well. Again, if you want to help a little bit more, chuck a comment in, let us know. If you comment on the YouTube video, let me know what you'd like to see at the ARC show. If you do want to support the podcast a little bit more than a like or a comment, obviously I mentioned at the top of the show, there is now a Patreon page. So if you want to know some more, there's a link down below. Come and join the Repty Squad, and that'll be fantastic. So that's pretty much where we're at. If you want to keep up to date on all things me or all things Repty Chat, there's two Instagram accounts, which are at Ben's Balls and at Repty Chat. So that is all from me today. So all that's left to do is to say thank you very much, and I will see you next time. Bye-bye.